Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Well, good morning, everyone. Y'all look really awesome this morning. And after 30-something years of doing ministry, you figure I might have learned this by now, that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And sometimes God has a way of testing what you prophesy and what you proclaim and what you speak. And it wasn't just a few weeks ago or so that I told Cheryl, I said, you know, if Pastor Carl ever asked me to speak again, I don't know if I'm going to say yes or no, but just because it's been so long. And no sooner had I said that than I get a message early in the morning last week, and Pastor says, would you be able to, you know, he said, are you available to speak? And I'm like, let me look at my calendar. Nothing. So I said, let me pray about it. Okay. And so here we are, and it really is exciting to be in this place, and it reminds me of, you know, the old story of clicking my heels three times and thinking of the old phrase, there's no place like home.
And think to yourself, there's no place like home, there's no place like home,
there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There really is no place like home. There really is no place like this place, and there really is no place like this place right here. And what a crazy week has been for us, you know, when we got the invitation to speak. Oh, I've got to do this. There are people that are watching up in Sudbury right now, and I told them that I would do this because, you know, I know there's a girl, Karen, that's up there. She's watching right now. She gave her heart. She came a couple weeks ago, gave her heart to the Lord, and pardon this little thing, but romper, bomper, bomper, boo, tell me who. Is it Karen that is watching from Sudbury? Tell me who. And so I told, she said, I dare you to do that. So I did it. And for those of you who are watching from someplace in Mexico, we did it. But I really am excited today, and I want to talk a little bit about the unlimited voice. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, we'll use that as a base, and we'll kind of go around all over the place a little bit today, but it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Genesis 1:8 says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. I was reading a book from Fatine Crisco, whatever her new name is now, married name is now. But in there was a quote where it said, the new breed of revivalists that God is raising up has a takeover mentality, and that they are convinced that God has called them to take over the world. And I firmly believe here for every single one of us that we have that mandate, we have that call, and we really have that mission upon us to go in and take dominion and take really to kind of take over the world. But when we ever hear those words subdue and dominion, most people nowadays, they squirm when they hear these words because it brings about thoughts of slavery and it brings about thoughts of bondage. But the heart of God is not to make you feel like you're under some strong-armed authority, but to give you heaven's marching orders as a gift. You see, it's not just mastering sin, but it's mastering everything you put your mind to in this arena of life, because there really is a voice. There is a voice that is preparing you to become more than what you've ever dreamed. There's a voice that is preparing you to become more than you've ever imagined and to live life to the full, till it overflows. And I think about this verse all the time, and I ask God, you know, quite regularly this year, say, you know, God, put me in a place that seems to be like a dead bones. Put me in a place that seems to be like where there's not much life. In the last couple years, we've had the opportunity to be the chaplain of the London Junior Mustangs Football Club. And initially, I thought, well, you know, what does that actually mean? What does all that entail? And it really didn't, as a chaplain, you think, you know, here I am going to, you know, bring spiritual leadership to the ball players. And I mean, sometimes when you're out in a secular arena like that, that there is there's thin ice. There's a very thin layer that there's guidelines and there's things that you have to walk in, preparate. You have to walk in line. There's authority structures. And so you can't just really just go out and get on the field and just, you know, rip it. But you have to be there just in case. The exciting thing about all this, in the last 2 years as chaplain of the Junior Mustangs, there really were not a whole lot of major opportunities to have this great big evangelistic proclamation. But what is exciting about that is through being there. How many know that your presence really sets the way, it paves the way, it prepares the way for God to do something bigger than you've ever really imagined? How many know when you ever want to get into a football arena, whenever you want to get into a coach's arena, coaches are just a different breed. They're very, very cautious who they let into that little clique. Micah was, obviously, you know, some of the accolades Micah had this past year in football and over at Catholic Central. You know, if you ever want to get involved in that arena, you either have to be an alumni or you have to have some kind of inner family connection. Well, what's been really exciting this year is they've asked me to come on and help coach the football team this year. And they've done, you know, great in the past years. And they have this incredible heritage over there. And so now I'm going in and helping with the defense over there. Well, no sooner did I get the invite to do the defense over there than Coach J.P. Cercelli and the whole Cercelli family, they have an incredible heritage at Western and even down at CCH. Then they called and asked if I would consider helping out with the London Junior Mustangs defense. And I was like, wow, so now we're going from chaplain and getting involved in the coaching arena as well. Now, some of you look at it like, well, bloom where you're planted. And how many know after 30-something years of ministry, we are accustomed to one certain field of ministry? But how many know that field of ministry, wherever you are called to, has the ability to expand? It expands to the degree that you're willing for it to expand. And some people say, well, you know, what does that have to do with ministry? How many know any time that you have the ability to speak into somebody's life and to proclaim into somebody's life, that is a new arena of ministry for you. When we begin to speak to some of the ball players and I tell them that, you know, names will be forgotten, statistics will be broken, but legacies will live forever. When they begin to understand something like that, when they be able to understand that here's a pastor, a Christian guy who doesn't wear the collar, most of the players are like, oh, coach, I never knew that you were a pastor. And I'm like, good. Because I don't want you to act differently just because I show up. I want you to act differently because I've had an influence in your life, not because you feel guilty. And as you have an ability to begin to proclaim liberty and to set the captives free, there is an anointing that comes inside of you, and it's exciting when you begin to step into that arena. Just this past, probably a couple years ago or so, you know, we had an invitation to go to South Africa with Todd Bentley, and Todd said these words. He said, Bobby, all I want you to do is to come down and steward the revival. Well, I didn't know what steward meant. All I thought, okay, what's steward of revival? Well, basically what it meant is I want you to come and catch. I'm like, well, you can get anybody to come and catch. Why am I going to get on an airplane and fly 15 hours and go catch people? And besides, South Africa? Seriously? I don't want to go to South Africa. But how many know that Todd began to proclaim something out of his mouth, which was nothing more than an invitation to come. It was up to me whether I was going to accept the invitation. Should you accept the invitation? So when the invitation came, I was in anxiety. I was in panic mode. I was crying. I was freaking out. I didn't know if I was going to go down there and be part of somebody's soup. I didn't know. I know I'm a big, hefty preacher, and I know there's a lot of meat on these bones. I'm going to be put in a pot. I'm going to be boiled. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to go to South Africa. And I went through this whole thing. But I knew that God was stirring something up inside of me. I had no idea what it was because outside of going to Ireland in 2008, it was like 5 years before I ever stepped into that kind of arena. But we went down there, and little did I know what was about to happen. Because he said at that point, he said, we want to send you to Worcester, South Africa, and we want you to do the meetings on our behalf in Worcester, South Africa. I'm like, hang on, Tonto. I said, you said come and steward the revival, like catch people. And now you want to give me the mic to go represent Fresh Fire in a city that I've never known before, and they're expecting you, but they're going to get me. How many of that sends you into an anxiety freakout mode? Well, here's a little bit of what happened in Worcester, South Africa. Hey, everybody, this is Bobby Sullivan from London, Ontario, Canada, and I would just want to let you know that we are really excited for what God is doing supernaturally here in Worcester, South Africa. About a week and a half ago, I had no idea where Worcester, South Africa was. I know that Todd Bentley of Fresh Fire was doing a phenomenal work in Durban, South Africa, with the Great Healing Awakening, and they asked me to come and help steward the revival. Little did I know that I wasn't going to just be stirring that revival, but I was going to be sent here by divine appointment from the Spirit of the Lord to stir up something that in this particular region that needed to be stirred up. God has been doing some phenomenal things, incredible healings. The first night, 350 people came to Jesus. The second night, 85 people came to the Lord. So that's like over 400 in a couple days. Deaf people been hearing, people who had problems with walking has been healed. But probably one of the most exciting things actually took place tonight. You know, where there really wasn't a whole lot of, you know, physical healings, but it was a healing of a region. And we just began to decree and declare healing over this particular region here in Worcester, South Africa. And we really believe that from this moment forward, that something historical is beginning to take place in the realms of the supernatural. And we believe that this has been a divine appointment that has been set up by God himself. And we would love for you to take part of these awakening meetings here in Worcester. Now, Saturday night, Sunday night, we're going to be at Maranatha Christian Center starting at 6 o'clock. We may just continue on. I don't know. We're waiting to hear what the Lord says for next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're kind of going, you know, day by day. But I want you to take part of what God is doing in this region significantly. And we're really excited that we have a part. And the only person that's been missing here over the last 4 days has been you. So we'd love to have you come join us as we take part in Fresh Fire and believe that God will shake this city for Jesus Christ. God bless you.
All right. All you YWAMers who do dance and theatrical stuff, we're going to do a new rap. Okay? Oop-pa-pa, oop-pa-pa, y'all.
Yeah.
Oop-pa-pa, oop-pa-pa, y'all.
Don't go and put something on YouTube that Bobby just started this new religion called Oom-pa-pa-ya. Hey, let's do what Pastor Bobby does. Oom-pa-pa-ya, and people will get their healing. I've never done that in my life and may never do it again, but whatever.
Not at all, yes? Better?
Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
You know, what's really exciting about that thing there is, you know, you've always heard of people when they go pray for the deaf and they get healed and you think that's for somebody else. And I've always heard that happen in Todd's meetings, but I never really, I mean, I had the faith for it to happen, but I really wasn't really sure that it could actually happen, you know, through us. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and sometimes you just have to step out. I mean, sometimes, you know, you step out. Obedience always paves the way for the miraculous. And when those first meetings came, 40 churches came together, 2,000 people assembled every night, and sometimes you just have to go for it. I'd much rather make a mistake doing something for God than doing something right for the enemy by sitting back and doing nothing. So, you know, we just went for it, and probably 90% of the people that we prayed for that were deaf instantly got their hearing back. How many, when you start getting stuff like that, then you have the faith to believe that maybe the blind can see. And so then we start, you know, going that way and believing that it can happen. And it surely began to happen. But none of that stuff ever would have happened. Well, it might have happened through somebody else. But how many realize it is so much more better on your behalf when you are obedient and you do it and you start seeing results. And you get really excited about that. Because Genesis 1 says that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and nothing was created until something was said. You see, there's so much power that you have in your voice that no one will know Jesus until somebody says something. The verse that really launched us over into Africa was Isaiah 30:21, and it says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk ye in it,' whether you turn to the right or whether you turn to the left." A good man, Luke 6:45 says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what it is full of. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up, so that it what might benefit those that listen to it. Psalm 71 verse 8 is a favorite of mine. It says, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Even when you're down in the dumps, even when you're under the circumstances, you're declaring his praises all day long. Psalm 105 and 1 says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, and make known among the nations what he has done. I mean, we always have a tendency of declaring what our mouths, of things that he has not done. And we're always talking about things that are not going right. But how about doing something so totally different this year and just begin to declare every day the splendor of the good things that he has done, the good things that he has done in your life, and rejoice in that. I mean, God has done some phenomenal things. I mean, it may be a little bit different than what we are accustomed to, you know, 5 years ago, even when we planted the church in Mount Bridges, and then subsequently we closed it. And the last 2 years seems to be kind of, you know, a little weird, like what the heck is going on? But how many realize that if obedience paves the way for the miraculous, and you're out there doing stuff, that God's gonna transplant you sometimes into a field. Your field may look like a bunch of dandelions. But this one thing I've known from overseeing or from our grass and seeding our grass, if your yard is full of weeds, they always tell you to overseed it. Overseed it with good seed, and the good seed will totally eradicate the weeds. So no matter where you are, bloom where you're planted, you might look like your field is full of dandelions, but be the biggest sunflower out there. And then let the seeds of the sunflower just spread all over those fields, and pretty soon you'll see more sunflowers show up. I guarantee it. You'll see it happen. And we don't even know where these last 2 years, you know, we've been crazy successful in some business adventures that we've been involved with. And that part's been really fun. And you see some stupid, weird videos I put up on YouTube, and just get over it. It's what you do when you get bored sometimes. And you're like, but it's fun. What you gonna do, brother? And, you know, you see all kind of crazy stuff. But the cool part about it is God has planted us in a field, and sometimes a different field, where we wonder, you know, what kind of influence are we going to have, whether it's in the school, you know, wherever you're at. And you soon find out that because of who you are, not necessarily because of what you say, but because of who you are, that people are going to come to you, and they're going to say, what the heck is so different about you? And it's at that point, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak, or you're going to cower, or you're just not going to say anything. And then you wonder why God may not use you, because you have to seize the opportunity of a lifetime during the lifetime of the opportunity. So the first thing you got to realize here today is this, that what are you creating with your voice? Because God released his voice, and his voice created reality. Number one, your voice brings back life. Your voice brings back life. Ezekiel 37 is a favorite scripture of mine, and let's just go there. Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. We have time, sort of. I've told everybody I'm going to do this in 30 minutes, and I'm like, the hand of the Lord was upon me, chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out into the spirit, or in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass around among them, and behold, there was a very many human bones in the open valley, and they were very dry. In verse 3, he says, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh Lord, only you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How many realize God, listen, God already knew that these bones had come alive. He wanted to find out if Ezekiel agreed with him. He wanted heaven to invade Ezekiel. God is going to put you in all kinds of places where he's going to ask you questions. Can this university live again? Can this football team live again? Can this church live again? Can these dry bones live again? Don't ever say, oh God, only you know. Say, God, yes. Yes, they can. And if you say, yes, thee can, then guess what? He's going to give you the opportunity to get off your can and prove it. If you say, yes, he can, God will give you the opportunity to get off your can and prove it. And I love this in the scripture because it's a fascinating prophecy of dry bones in Ezekiel, because Ezekiel has something for every body. Preaching to dry bones would seem like a waste of time. A skeleton just isn't listening, but we sometimes forget the incredible vital power of God's word. That if God can speak matter into existence with just one word, and if he can make a man out of clay or a woman out of a rib, then it stands to reason that he can cause the spiritually dead to hear as well. Because God's word is so potent and God's word is so powerful that it infuses new life into everything that even appears dead. So he says, as I prophesied in verse 7, as I spoke, as I proclaimed, as I declared, something out of the ordinary happened. That the natural came in contact with the supernatural that was coming out of Ezekiel, and boom, life began to happen for these people that were dead. I'm telling you, man, wherever you go today, there is an unlimited voice that God has for you to become, to declare, to proclaim everything that God wants. You are his legal mouthpiece in this region. A trumpet is totally useless without a mouthpiece. Try that. I mean, it just doesn't work. You are his mouthpiece. There's life in the bones. That whenever the Lord speaks, things happen. The Bible tells that when Christ said to the leper, be cleansed, he was immediately clean. When Jesus said, get up and walk, to a man who had not even walked for 38 years, the man walked. That there's always perpetual power in the Word of God to enable us to do whatever he commands us to do. It's amazing. These bones are always associated with death. And we realize in Ezekiel chapter 37, he says, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them. They lived, they stood up on their feet, and they became an exceeding army. What is the marching commands? Ezekiel chapter 4 and 6 declares the battle plan, not by might, not by spirit, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That whenever the spirit enters into each and every one of us, and we begin to declare his word and not our opinions, something happens. How many times you begin to declare your opinions, you've declared your interpretation rather just than declaring the word, and nothing out of the ordinary happened, and you said, well, I told you this don't work. You can never go wrong when you stick with the blueprint. Don't deviate from the blueprint. Don't deviate from the word. It's there for a reason. If it worked for God and we are his legal mouthpiece and his authority here on this earth, then it's got to work for us as well. We are his mouthpiece. We're called to bring life to a lifeless situation at times. Live your life in such a way that it demands an explanation. That's good. Say it again. I will. Live your life in such a way that it demands an explanation. Live your life in such a way that when you speak, people can't help but to stop dead in their tracks, listen, respond, and change. That God placed the prophet Ezekiel in the middle of death itself. Catherine's going to love this. It was a desperate, desolate valley of decay. She loves the D words. God's plan was to use someone to bring resurrection life out of a destitute situation. I'll say it again for Catherine's sake. That it was a desperate, desolate valley of decay. And God's plan was to use someone to bring resurrection life out of a destitute situation. How many would say, I'm a candidate for God to use me into a life of decay and a destitute situation to bring life? It's truth. The word in verse 4, when it says, say to them, is the Hebrew word amar. And it's the same word that God used, listen to this, in Genesis 1 when he spoke creation into reality. The word prophesy in the Hebrew word is naba, and it means to be under the influence of the divine. So it means this, Ezekiel, Bob, Mary, Joe, Philip, Arthur, Mary, I'm going to come upon you with my divine spirit, with the spirit of prophecy, and it is the same spirit that created the heavens and the earth, and I want you to speak life into decay, and when you do this, a vast army is going to arise. Because there's power in the voice. Your voice has unlimited potential. Number 2, your voice prepares the way. Matthew 3, and 3 talks about John the Baptist, you know, declaring the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. What's so unique about this verse is it describes him as being a voice and not just having a voice. That's freaky. It declares him as being a voice and not just having a voice. I remember a mentor of mine years ago, Denny Duran. Denny Duran said, he said, Bobby, evangelism isn't what you do. It's who you are. Christianity isn't what we do. It's not a profession of our career, but it's a profession of who we are. That when you begin to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, something supernatural happens, because now the supernatural comes into the natural so that you begin to do something supernaturally natural. It happened. The most powerful creative tool in the universe is a voice filled with the authority of God. Because when you prophesy to someone, you're under the influence of that divine anointing yourself. You're paving the way. Hebrews 11:3 says that through faith, you're going to love this, that through faith the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word worlds means specific allotted periods of time within history of mankind. And it talks about decades, generations, centuries, and millenniums. Now watch this. If you catch this, it'll be really cool. Through faith now, we understand the different decades, generations, centuries, and millenniums within the past history of mankind have been completely framed by the word or the voice of the Lord. The word framed, it means to take an already existing thing and to change or alter its outward shape or form. If that's true, then the verse sounds like this. It talks about recreating, reshaping, remolding, the altering of something that is already in existence. Now watch what happens when you begin to declare the word in something that's already existing and already happening, wherever we are right now. That through faith, we understand that different periods, decades, centuries, millenniums, and generations within the past history of mankind have been completely altered, remolded, reshaped, and recreated by the word, the voice of the Lord. And if the word and the voice of the Lord is within you and you begin to speak as an oracle on his behalf, then guess what? Something is recreated out of nothing. It doesn't matter if it's politics. It doesn't matter if it's athletics. It doesn't matter if it's just somebody down on Dundas. Then something happens when you begin to speak. Because Fatine says that our words, when inspired by the Spirit of God, has the power to create structures in the spirit realm, and what we see in the physical realm hangs upon that framing. Edwin Burke says, all that is necessary for evil to succeed is that good men do nothing. Well, with this in mind, maybe it would sound something like this. All that is necessary for evil to grow is for the righteous to keep their mouth shut. And nothing out of the ordinary will ever happen. Number 3, this is the fun part, because it's almost over. Your voice creates change. Now, I'm going to decree some stuff here. I'm going to declare some stuff here. I'm going to prophesy some stuff here, stuff that has just been stirring up on the inside, and I think you're going to like this. But we are a species that are driven by fear. We're attracted to fear and sometimes even motivated by fear. We spend millions of dollars a year, and I'm not addressing you guys, but the world. We spend millions of dollars a year attending movies that scare us to tears, drive our heart rates up, and send us into virtual paranoia. But how many know fear is the one thing God never gave, but the one thing he can take away? Fear is the polar opposites of faith, and it originates from 2 totally different authors. There's a study that's been going out and by a guy named Ali Schmitz in 2002, and they've been using this term called neuromarketing, and it was a term where, according to Wikipedia, it describes about researchers who use technology such as functional magnetic resonance imaging to measure changes in activity in parts of the brain and to learn why consumers make the decisions that they do and what a part of the brain is telling them to do that. In other words, what is it that is driving people to some of the scary movies, to the freaky movies, to the movies that are so full of fear? You see, one of the basic instincts of human beings is to survive. And fear relates to our survival. And that's why reality shows such as survival and loss are so magnetic to our senses, because we've all have an element of survival in us while feeling lost in an ever-changing world around us. Fear of the unknown, maybe you can relate. Fear of the unknown, fear of finances, fear of schooling, kids. Fear of the future, do I have enough to eat? That's not my fear. Will I have enough money to retire? That could be. Is the world really safe? Will I have enough money to make ends meet? Do I have what it takes to become fill in the blank? All these questions are swirling around in our head like the whirlpool at Niagara Falls. But I believe, as we begin to wrap this up today, I believe that we are created to thrive and not just survive. We have been impregnated in the womb of our expectancy with faith, hope, innovation, creativity, ingenuity, entrepreneurship, and the list goes on. We are what our dream is. We are what God says we are to be. Because in Him is the unlimited life. In Him is the untapped potential for you and I to rewrite our stories. It doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. You have the ability, through His anointing, to rewrite your story, to reshape your future. Don't live by excuses. Excuses are discounted but never discontinued. They're always around. Don't live your life based on excuses. In Him, by Him, and from Him are the gifts to transform you into a superhuman with supernatural abilities. The problem is something or somebody has aborted our dreams. In our business world, we've always had people ask, what is the American dream? We've always heard the American dream. But I piped up one time and I said, what about the Canadian dream? When is the last time you dreamt? I've said it before that the dreams that have never come true are the dreams that have never been dreamt. There's not a person in this church here today that has to settle for anything. Because the very moment that you start to settle is the very moment you start to go backwards. Every message that Pastor Carl and the eldership and Pastor Cheryl begins to preach is to take us from where we are to where we need to be. That we are perpetually moving forward. We are a forward movement here today. Someone has stripped us from the vast supernatural resources that are hidden within us. Because within every one of you here today, there is a gold yet to be mined, treasures yet to be found, and ideas yet to be discovered. Did you realize in Japanese the word for crisis? People say, oh, we're in a crisis. Well, that's debatable. The word for crisis has a twofold meaning. One definition is something, is danger. The other definition is opportunity. Those who have eyes to see beyond the turmoil in the world and make a step into a positive direction, they're going to enter into limitless possibilities. Those who look at the situations and circumstances and they start looking back at history and go, oh, I wonder what it was like back then. Somebody, oh, it was better way back when. Seriously? There was outdoor plumbing back then. Who wants to go back? I want to go forward. How many of you have such a cruddy history? You don't want to go back there. Yuck. Now listen to me very carefully. Creativity and innovation, unlike anything we've ever seen. Let me say it again. Creativity. If you agree with this, just go, yeah. Creativity and innovation, unlike anything we've ever seen, is about to enter into the world stage of politics, technology, business, entertainment, and every social arena of life. Watch what's going to happen. Very few have yet to accept the corporate merger of heaven invading our minds. We're all candidates for the renewing of the mind because it's going to cost us something if we accept this. The problem is not the willing to receive what God wants us to have, to receive where God wants us to go. The problem is the activation of the gift, because it might require effort. It might require work. Oh, forget that. It might require time. It might require sacrifice, all of which attacks, listen to this, our entitlement mentality in North America. But sometimes we got to get beyond that garbage. We got to get beyond worldly thinking. We need to, Joyce Meyer says, we need a check up from the neck up. If you're broke, you've settled. If you're poor in spirit, you have settled. If you're whining and not winning, you have settled. If you're complaining and not conquering, you've settled. There's more that God has for you. How about waking up one morning and saying, God, I can't wait till I can tithe $2,000 a month. Like, seriously? It's not impossible. You just got to have, most of us have, in the world, we have to get out of our lack mentality. When heaven really invades our mind, he detoxes it. There's a detox going on. I'm going to jump ahead. Jody Hansen says, change is going to happen at the speed of thought. Change is going to happen at the... Already happened. Be the change you wish to see. Don't worry about anything. Worry is the dark room where negatives are developed. Don't worry about what other people are doing, where they're going, what they're doing, what they're saying. Your reputation as a problem solver and as the life changer is going to follow you. That if your heart and your intentions are right, you'll never have to defend yourself. You'll never have to explain yourself. If you retreat to defending yourself, it opens up more doubt as to why. Truth. So go build yourself up. Go embrace yourself. Stop what you're doing and just give yourself a giant hug. People might talk. They might think you're weird. They might think you're having a relationship with yourself. But go hug yourself. Look in the mirror and thank God for who you are. Look in the mirror and go, what you gonna do, brother? You're amazing. Yeah. Tell yourself that you're awesome. I do it every morning. Bobby, you're awesome. And my kids are like, you're a freak. You're weird. I said, I know it. Somebody told me just yesterday, I did a stupid Captain Optimira videos. One guy says, that's what I really like about you. You're always young. And I said, you know, I've tried growing up. I'm 54. You think I'm about ready for a 10% discount at McDonald's. I said, I've tried growing up. I've tried being mature, and it's really not me. It's not everything is cracked up to be. So live like a teenager sometimes. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Grow from your mistakes. Grow from your fears. Oh, I love it. Expect the unexpected. Build yourself up while others try and tear you down. Call forth, get this, call forth creativity, prosperity, innovation, and dreams to flow out of you like a mighty rushing river in a springtime thaw. Call forth it. Detoxify your mind from every influence that'll attempt to pollute it. Feed your faith. Expand your horizons. Don't indulge yourself in a sea of confusion by entertaining everybody else's thoughts or opinions and ideas on what you should be and what you should do. If God says be it, then go do it. Go become your dream. Go make your mark. And be the voice.
He was warm, he came around like he was dignified. He showed me what it was to cry. There's nothing where he used to lie. This conversation has run dry. My
That's what's going on. And not this, but I'm torn.
So many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs. Made some better lives. Affected out my life. I've been so many places in my life and time.
A picture of us holding hands and making plans, and now I understand what a girl needs.
Say goodbye to what we had. If I was a sun way up there, I would love most ever.
I don't know about y'all, but when I saw that, I got all jacked up. I got all fired up because how many of you ever realized when the reoccurring theme in those clips is this: I want you. God wants you. God put inside of each and every one of you a voice. And sometimes I'm sure that him and the angels and all, when they hear your voice, they're going to turn around and go, what? It was you out of the house. That came out of you. And he says, I want you. And the exciting thing about that is this, that the coaches there, they handpick a candidate to teach, to mentor, to train, to walk alongside them, and to teach them to be the voice. Let's all stand. Tom Landry said, a coach is someone who tells you what you don't want to hear. As you look at what you don't want to see, so you can be the person you've always wanted to be. I think we have maybe one more slide in Isaiah 12:4. It says, in that day you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Did you get something out of that today? Amen. Go be the voice, Unlimited.